Welcome to the Regular Catholic Guys Show with your host, Jeff Garrett, a podcast for regular Catholic men, men who want to get into the trenches to learn about their Catholic faith, marriage, raising kids, and other Catholic guy stuff. Enjoy the show. My guests on the show today are Alan Migliarato and Daryl Dziek. Alan and Daryl are the authors of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Today, we're going to talk about a formula that you can teach your teens Catholic leadership. Hi, Alan. Hi, Daryl.
Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Great to have you on the show. We're here to talk about your book, Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. So tell me, what inspired you to write the book?
Okay, well, we Daryl and I are pretty close friends, and about 10 years ago, we started a ministry called Adventure Catholic, and the reason that that was started was because we saw a lot of kids leaving the faith at two different particular points. One, when they get confirmed, and the other when they graduate from high school and they get off to college on their own. And both of these points are where we expect our teens to become leaders, and we expect leadership from our teens. And we realize that parents in general are failing at teaching their children how to be leaders. Instead, what we find is that parents make little robots out of their kids, and when they're not there, their kids don't know what to do. And I know that those are kind of harsh sounding words as failure and robots and, you know, robotic, but that's the truth. And we're here to speak the truth with love and in a way to encourage parents to start, you know, training their kids to become leaders. So we came up with this, this five-step method that we talk about, and we'll talk about here, I'm sure, in Failing Forward, our book. And Daryl's been instrumental in, you know, kind of connecting that with scripture so that we can keep kids connected to the faith.
You know, Jeff, something to think about this book, even though it has the word, you know, leadership lessons for teens, it's really aimed for parents. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, parents are the primary teachers of the faith. They are the primary teachers of life, really, as the church says. And obviously faith being the most important. So we, after our time together, Alan and I kind of, you know, we go back in ministry together, and we just started thinking about it. And parents would ask us after we had our time with the kids, we did put them through our leadership training program. Like, what did you do to my kid? What did you do to my kid? And of course, it's like, it got us starting to think about what are we doing? And so we started kind of codifying and methodology and, you know, and figure out this is what we're doing with them. And so we actually just kind of did that. We put our methodology together and we're like, all right, parents, now you have kind of a manual to follow, to start help guiding your kids a little bit more. And it's not that parents don't want to, it's just that sometimes we forget things that we should be doing, or we don't know how to do it. We don't know what we should be doing, and what is effective. And really, we just found something effective and wanted to share what worked for us.
Tell me a little bit about the method that you've discovered.
Jeff, that's top secret. You'll have to buy our book. Alan, go ahead, man. I'll let you take this one.
So there's five steps, and we call it the COPEC, C-O-P-E-C method. So we've got challenge, observe, process, evaluate, and challenge again. And so those are drawn out. Like, we can talk about each one of those steps, which I think is so important. If one of the steps is not followed the way that we're talking about following it, you can't expect the same results. You know, it's like your car, you change the oil at certain times. Well, if you don't, you can't get the same results out of what they expect the car to do. So this is, if you're following this method and you're using it methodically, your teens are going to end up being leaders and better leaders, and you're going to end up being a more effective parent. So challenge, the first step, is where kids love a challenge. They really do. And if you think about how often kids play video games over and over and over to reach the certain levels of achieving and winning that game, they love the challenge. But not only do they want that challenge, they don't want to be told how to do it. They don't want their parents sitting there saying, okay, jump over that barrel, you know, watch out for Donkey Kong. Like, you know, and I mean, I'm dating myself by saying Donkey Kong.
I know those games.
Okay. Well, Pac-Man or whatever. You don't want your parent. Could you imagine if when we learned how to play Pac-Man, if our parents were sitting next to us saying, go left, go up, go right, you know, watch out for the, oh my gosh, I wouldn't want to play the game. Yeah. I mean, I would just throw the game down and walk away. So that's the challenge, is the hardest for the parents, because to give your kid a challenge and let them see it through from beginning to end, no matter what happens, without giving your advice, and then going back and reevaluating, that's the hardest thing for parents.
And on that note, you know, Alan brought up two things. He brought up, you know, with Kopech, he always uses this image of a recipe, which I love, you know, and this is in our particular instance, you follow this recipe, this is what you're going to get. But the challenge part in the video games, I love that analogy, because especially in today's modern video games, you know, there's a lot of open world games for kids, and they get the freedom to explore and try things, and they fail. I mean, constantly, I got to grind, I'm failing. My guy got, you know, I play a lot of first person shooters, my kids do. And, oh, my guy died, and they go back and they try again. And Alan's right. You know, I'll annoy my son and be like, no, go here. He's like, Dad! But they want that freedom. And we as parents, using the recipe method, you know, I love this example I always use, but like if we stand there with our kid going, okay, put this in now. Oh, put it in the oven for this. Oh, did you check the oven? Did you check this? And they don't get a chance to realize mentally that they need to constantly check the oven temperature or make sure the thing's not burning. They're not going to learn. And that's how we ended up learning. We learned a lot by trial and error. And that's really how what life is about, trial and error. Our goal, though, is to create small trial and errors, and the errors that you can get over in a day or 2 days, rather than making errors that have lifelong lasting impact.
So enable them to fail and fail forward.
Amen, brother. Amen.
We see a lot of parents step in when that failure starts to happen. And that's the worst thing that you can do is you say, well, I know that, you know, here, I want you to go hammer this board to that other board. Well, the kid grabs a wrench. Well, wait a minute, you got the wrong tool. Okay. There's a teaching moment there, but don't stop him before he does it wrong, because it's not that the kids, you're afraid your kids are going to fail. What Daryl and I find is that the parents are afraid to be failures because their kids did something wrong. And that comes down to pride as a parent, and we got to get rid of pride as parents if we want to see our kids be leaders.
I'm laughing, Jeff, because I have some video footage. It probably happened about a month ago. My youngest son, we're in the kitchen, we're making stuff, and he's opening this. He's gonna make a tuna fish sandwich, and he's got the can opener, right, and it's just not working. And I'm sitting here, of course, I want to jump in. Oh, I'll help you, son. I'm the awesome dad. Here we go. And I'm watching, and I look at what he's doing, and I just start laughing inside. And I'm like, son, you got to figure it out. I think you're smart. You can handle. And he's like trying to figure it out. Well, here's the kicker. It was a pole top. And I go, are you sure you're looking at the can right? He goes, yeah, Dad, I'm fine. I go, look at it again. Just really look. And I took a picture. I actually sent it to Alan, the video. And I'm like, this is me not stepping in for my kid. My son's like, why are you videoing me? He knew something was up. But I go, son, I finally pause. Just look. And I go, did you look at everything? Yeah. Did you look at this? No. Okay. So, and it was just kind of funny because I wanted to save him at first, but then I'm like, this is how he's going to learn the difference between – he needs to learn a pull top versus a can opener top.
So. We have parents, Jeff, ask us too. They're like, okay, well, that's when he's trying to open a can of soup. But what about when he's about to fail out of his math class? Yes. Even then too, but there, you know, there's times where it's like, if he's about to fail out of his math class, there's something that went wrong because you haven't used this method up until now. It's when he fails that math test that you want to start implementing this method and moving from challenge into observe into process and then back into evaluate, and another challenge follows right after. And those are very important.
Absolutely. And, you know, these are lessons not only for teaching our teenagers, but they're lessons for us as leaders, as men, too, because we have to, as we're teaching others, we need to let them fail, too.
Mm-hmm. Men in general, I mean, yeah. Of the three of us, I guarantee you don't like to ask for directions. I mean, that's not the old adage, like, I'm not going to stop and ask for directions. And my wife one time, I did this. We were moving to Washington State when I was in the Army, and she fell asleep, and we're headed north on Interstate 5. Well, I like to look at stuff as I'm driving, and I was just like, oh, the road goes this way. So I know I was heading north, but I wasn't on I-5 anymore. So she woke up, and she's like, well, where the heck are we? And I'm like, well, we're heading north. We can't really miss Washington State. We'll get there. She's like, are you crazy? Pull over and ask for directions. I'm like, we will get there. We got a long way to go. It's northwest. You can't really miss it. So we don't like to ask for those directions. We don't like to, you know, to to not be known as those leaders. But failure is an important part in admitting that failure and growing. Can you imagine in our Catholic faith, if we went into confession and said, well, I mean, I kind of did this, but I mean, it's not really that bad. So I don't know if you really need me to confess that. No, we need to admit that what we did and ask for, you know, and ask for forgiveness. So that's what happens with their being leaders as men. It was, we got to get past that pride as men.
And so I want to just want to jump on what Alan said about the confession part. That's kind of the secondary approach we take. We take the, obviously the life approach of looking at our everyday life where our failures are. And then our goal is to hopefully to lead them to that point of confession where they practice, you know, they're doing an examination of conscience without thinking about it and having the guts to speak the truth to God in the confessional, you know, but we don't come across and preach it that way. It's just, we lay the groundwork in using everyday life. And I think it's just been, it's just fascinating to see these kids and how they grow and even to see parents struggle through that a little bit.
And we've talked about this topic of confession, our kids going to confession on previous podcasts. As a man, I go first.
Amen.
Because I have to lead my kids and show them that I can go to confession and not just take them. Yep. Oh, here we go. Here, you're in confession. Go ahead. I have to go first.
You know, Jeff, that's the best thing you can do. Having, you know, I run our confirmation program for our parish. I'm the youth minister at our parish. And so I have to run the teen confirmation. And, you know, of course, we want them prepared, you know, for and so I always put that out there with when I'm with the parents. We have some parent teen sessions. And I say, look, you know, you need to have a good clean soul. This is part of the requirement to receive the sacrament. So parents, if you haven't been a while, this is the way to do it. You go first and then you bring your teen. I said, so you can show them leadership and what that looks like. And you see these, some people like you, like, oh, yeah, of course. So some people's eyes are like, I actually have to go to confession. I can't just, no, you can't. And so there's, but it's to bring the parents together. But you, what you're doing is exactly right. We have got to lead. And that's why we wrote this book really for parents, not so much to fix their kids, but really to fix parents and the way they're thinking and what they're doing so they can now change their household by changing their own lives.
So this gives them a manual, not only to teach their kids, their teens, but also really subliminally, it's going to help change them as well.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Well, think about it. If we had said that the book was for parents, very few parents would buy this book because they don't think they need to be fixed. So, I mean, really, every parent thinks their kid needs to be fixed in some way. It's just the pride that we have as adults is that we don't want to admit that we've done anything wrong. But this is something that's very needed. And so you have two different kinds of parents that'll buy our book, Failing Forward. You have one that'll say, hey, I need some help, and I'd like to get my kid closer to God. I don't want to see him moving away from the faith. You know, I want him to be a leader when he grows up or she grows up. The other parent will say, I really don't need anything. I'm perfect, but my kid's not. And so I'm going to buy this book and see what I can do to change him. Whatever. Buy the book because it's a good manual for parents to have.
And I would be the first person in that instance, and then Alan would be the second. And that's okay. You know, this book is going to reach all kinds of people, Jeff. So thank God. <Alan. laughs>
Okay.
So tell me, what are some of the successes that you've seen with the book and the method in the book?
We've done a few studies on the percentage of kids that are remaining connected to the faith on their own after confirmation, after graduation. We're about 85% where the kids are staying connected to their faith, as opposed to 15 to 20% that stay connected with their faith, which is across the board. You know, throughout Catholicism, the Catholic churches, we usually only get about 15 to 20% of the kids that stay connected to their faith within a 2 or 3 year period after they graduate from high school, where we're getting a much higher rate than that. But not because the parents are telling them to, because they're doing it on their own, because they become leaders. That's such an important part to remember about this, is that we're trying to raise our kids so that we don't have to push them in the car, you know, to get to church, drag them out of the car once you get there, force them down on their knees, you know, you hit them in the back of the leg so that they kneel at the right time. Like, we're trying to avoid that. We're trying to let kids know, you know, look, you're on your own. and you need to stay connected with your faith. This is the number one most important building block, foundation of your soul and the rest of your life. If you stay connected to God, everything else will fall in place naturally. But you have to do this on your own.
So have you experienced any parents that have had children that have left the faith?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, you have some kids that are, you mean that have gone through our training?
No, just in general.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no, of course. There's kids that, you know, are in the youth group that we work with, and they, you know, there's going to be some that move away and whose parents are not as connected and who are not as involved. And Daryl sees this all the time too. I mean, he works with, this is his full-time, you know, job is to work with youth. And I mean, we see kids all over the board, but the ones that have undergone this training through Failing Forward in our COPEC method, we see a huge difference. And Daryl can talk about some of those, you know, some of those differences that he sees.
I think, Jeff, the biggest thing, and so what, you know, of course, we're constantly doing COPEC for our for our ministry, you know, and the biggest thing I've seen is it's creating a culture. And we basically use three scriptures kind of as our foundation for this. And you'll see it when you read the book and Failing Forward. But one of those is Ephesians 4:15, which is St. Paul says, speak the truth with love. And my take on it. You know, he goes a little deeper in it, but to speak the truth with love. And so these that's so foundational, because you can see in today's society, people are afraid to speak truth, because if I speak the truth and that person doesn't agree with me, then they're going to say, I'm a racist, I'm a thisist, I'm a thatist, I'm a hate, I don't love you. You know, if I have to say that I don't believe that there is such thing as same-sex marriage, you know, or civil union, that marriage is, if I say marriage between a man and a woman, there's going to be a whole group of people that say, well, you hate gays, and you hate transgender, and you hate. Like, I didn't say I hate anything. I just said I don't believe that marriage is anything outside between a man and a woman. That's all I said. Where did you get hate out of that? And so, but people don't even want to say that stuff. You know, and it's like, if you don't agree with me, you hate me. And we still need to be like, okay, here's my truth. You know, brother, sister, I'm not saying that. I love everybody. I just have a different philosophy. And when you're ready to hear it, I'll sit down and talk with you about it. But since you're so emotionally charged up and you don't want to hear anything, then we're not going to talk right now. And I love you either way. And at some point we'll get back together and chat. So, you know, we use that one. The other one we use is, Proverbs 27, that's on wrong shirt, 7, I think it's 27, 19, anyway, iron sharpens iron, and I think it's 27:19. And 7. So that's, you know, when we say things to each other, the kids understand that we're not saying it to belittle them, we're not saying things to make them feel bad, we're saying things because we see something in them that needs to be sharpened. And, you know, and there's kids, it's kind of cool too. They'll say stuff to me. They'll say stuff to Alan. They'll say stuff to other youth leaders, because they feel comfortable that this iron sharpens iron goes both ways. And I think that's a hard part with parents. You know, in the book, parents are uncomfortable being sharpened by their own kids. You know, it's this old school, don't talk back to me. I'm the dad, or, you know, I'm the mom, and therefore you shouldn't call things out in me, but I can call them out in you. And that's, and as Alan talks about pride, that's where we as parents, our pride comes in. You know, and we're smart enough to know when the kid is saying something just to be hurtful, right? And they're reactionary. But even if they are, you know, it's okay. You know, I went through this terrible divorce, unwanted, terrible. And I've had my sons say things to me that if I even would have said half of that to my parents, I would have my butt beaten. I mean, to kingdom come. And so, but I realized the reason I was okay with it is because they were coming from a place of hurt and pain and anger, and they had nowhere else to get it out. I was the only one that they subconsciously trusted enough to share that with, although it wasn't shared in a what would deem a respectful manner. But by the grace of God, I was able to see that and go, okay, this is not them trying to be disrespectful. I mean, they were, but they're really trying to express their pain and their hurt and their anger. And that's where we as parents need to realize with our kids is – yes, there's a way to guide them. And then later on, like, hey, you know what? I understand what you said. I understand why you said it. There's a better way to go about it. So now that instead of being angry at what my son said to me, it's now it's a lesson going, okay, he needs guidance in how to appropriately express pain, hurt, and anger. And that's a growth thing. Now I can coach my child and walk with them. And I think that's a huge, you know, it's a huge step. I totally forgot where I was going with all this, Jeff, but
we have no idea, Daryl.
Speak the truth with love, you know, and it's building a culture of bettering. I'm not better than my kids, you know, and they should be able to sharpen me just as I sharpen them. And that's what we have in our youth ministry. And they, you know, of course they need to learn to do it in love, and that's where we have to coach them and be humble enough to not have our feelings hurt when they don't do it in love because they're learning. So it's really an interesting culture that we've created in our youth ministry and in my own personal household.
So if we use what Daryl just said, and we're not suggesting in any way that our COPEC method allows children to be rude to their parents. Yeah. What we're saying is that, you know, let's look at what happened. So, you know, there was a challenge, you know, his son was upset about something and he brought it to Daryl. So Daryl's observation there was to just listen for a second, let his son get what he had on his chest off his chest, right? Now we move into the P, the letter P of our method, which is COPEC. So process. So now Daryl said, here's how you would process that. So I noticed that when, like I would say to Daryl would say to his son, I noticed that when you were talking to me, you're very angry. Can you tell me why you're angry? Right? Because what we grew up with was, are you kidding me? Are you talking to me like that? Are you, you're about to get knocked out and waking up 3 weeks from now wondering what happened. So you will remember when you finally remember what, why I hit you 3 weeks from now, you will not do it again. But that all that does is create fear. So Daryl is building this relationship with his son, and this doesn't happen all the time. I know his sons, they're wonderful. But what happens is, so he processes that with his kids and says, look, so I noticed you're angry. Tell me about why you were angry. Okay, so his son dumps it again. I'm angry because you and mom are arguing, or I'm angry because you and mom were divorced. Okay, so how did that make you get to the point where you were speaking rudely to me? Because the way that you spoke to me was rude, and I'm giving you that. My process is I want to understand where you think it's okay to talk to me like that. And let his son talk again. And sometimes the kids come to their realization of, yeah, I guess that was rude. I wasn't trying to be rude. I was emotional, and I'm a teenager, and I deal with emotions, and that's all I deal with is my feelings. And so I was angry and it came off rude, right? Now our evaluate part of this is, okay, so I'm going to give you my evaluation as a parent. And the next time that you talk to me, it would be more beneficial, because it really took a lot for me to hold my temper when you were being rude to me. It would be more beneficial if you said, Dad, I'm so upset with you, and let me know what feeling you're coming from right away. Maybe we can talk this through instead of you being rude to me and me yelling at you. And now the next challenge is, the next time something like this happens, I want to hear what you're going to do different. So that's the method. That's like a quick walk through that method with Daryl's situation.
And what you're doing there is you're creating a safe environment in your home to where your kids can express their emotions and they can express themselves, and you can have a conversation with them.
Yeah. And the listening is the hardest part is for parents. I mean, it really is. You know, like our kids say things to us all the time, but we don't hear it because we're so ready to give that advice. And we're so ready to, you know, to give our side of the story, but we're not ready to hear theirs. And that's a hard thing for parents to know, is that then observe step. Probably the absolute hardest thing for parents to do is to watch a failure happening. It's very difficult.
And we don't want our kids to fail, right?
Well, I'm going to say, let me answer that question in a series of steps. So I don't want my kids to fail forever.
Right.
By allowing them to fail in the immediate, in our present time, that allows them to be successful later on. So I don't want them to fail. But if I don't allow that failure to happen now, when they're in a safe environment, while I can process this with them, while I can evaluate how they're dealing with that failure, they'll always fail. And not only they'll fail for the rest of their life, but they'll tank. I mean, they will tank it big time.
Well, they won't know how to recover.
That's such an important word, is recovery from failure. I mean, we've seen some horrible situations that, you know, that teens have gotten into on their own without their parents, and just not know how to recover from that failure.
And that, go ahead, Daryl.
Thanks, Alan. No, I apologize.
We were just talking about recovering from a failure and how important it is to let our kids fail now so they don't fail later on.
You know, and I think one of the things as we were sharing this example, Alan, is, and we talked tied in with our faith, Jeff, is our kids get a chance to experience God's mercy, you know? And so I think being gentle, being understanding and extending compassion first is a great way for our kids to experience God's mercy. And I think a lot about the prodigal son, you know, and we go back to that, but the son, you know, knowing what he did, and he's like, oh my gosh. And the father's just like, okay, I understand. I don't agree with it. Doesn't mean I agree with it. Doesn't mean I like what you did. It doesn't mean I approve of your choices, but, and that's what, you know, Pope Francis talks about, the mercy of God keeps coming back. And I think COPEC allows us as the doers of COPEC to enter into God's mercy at a deeper level by extending it. Cause you know, I have to bite my tongue. I want to do how my dad raised me, you know, Marine Corps, Vietnam vet, got my beat, and, you know, and that's nice. But, you know, I understand God's justice, but I didn't grow up understanding God's mercy. And I think this is a great example, a way to dive into that mystery of God.
I agree with you. I think this is the way Christ led, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. The way Christ led. Absolutely. He asked a lot of questions. Like when he sent the 72 off, he didn't say, I want you to take three steps into the town, turn right. I want you to talk to the women in the blue dress only. Like he said, go to that town and proclaim God's word, you know? And then when they came back, he processed with them. So what happened? How did this happen? How did that happen? What did you do? Did you follow, you know, what I suggested? How was the town? Did they receive you? And when they didn't receive you, he had instructions for that, you know, but he didn't have little robots that he programmed, because he knew that every situation his apostles and all the disciples were going to get into were unique situations. So that's impossible to train your kids for everything they're going to experience. So you've got to let them fail. You almost, it's not that you want them to fail, but you want them to learn from failure. So yes, I do want my kids to fail on their own so that they can recover on their own, so that they can get to the point where we're at as adults, because we got here somehow. Right? We got here somehow. With God's grace, we're here. And we've got to train our kids to do the same thing. Some of us got here sooner than later, honestly, you know? And we were talking about baseball earlier. I remember the first time I was 14 and I got moved up to the 18-year-old league to play. I was a pitcher. And the very first pitch I threw, I'm pretty sure the ball is still in orbit. This guy hit it so hard and so far. I never even saw it come down. I really didn't. Last I saw it was headed toward the sun. But the coach didn't take me out. You know, and he said, no, just finish, you know, and I think they scored like 5 runs that first inning. And I realized I can't keep throwing fastballs like I did when I was in the 14-year-old league. I got to come up with the curveball. I got to come up with the slider, with the knuckleball. I got to come up with something different, a changeup, so that they're not used to what they're seeing. So I have to adapt. I have to adapt. But without that failure, without that ball getting cranked the first pitch I threw, I would have still been on my high horse thinking that, you know, my fastball is God's gift to me. And it was, but I mean, I still had to use other talents. And that's what we're trying to teach our kids, is to adapt.
Daryl, anything else to add to that?
I'm going back to what you asked about what kind of results we see. And I'm, as Alan's talking, I'm thinking about, you know, some of the kids in our youth group, and you asked, did some kids fall away and come back? And the answer is yes. But the reason I'm bringing this up is that, you know, we had a young man, him and another kid, they're kind of like Alan and I if we were teenagers, you know, just goofing around, causing trouble. And this young man is about 23 right now. And he's been going through some struggles. You know, he went through our program, graduated, you know, trying to find himself, getting lost in some, you know, drugs and different things, you know. But yeah, it was fascinating because there was something inside that still called to him. And he reached out really to Alan. You know, just drive by his shop and you know, oh, how you doing, and have a conversation. But it was this desire, right? Because we planted the seeds. of this, and he knew who to go to that he could share. And the kid was very open with us. I mean, he was even on his phone going, "Oh man, check out this chick. You know, I'm gonna, she wants to hook up with me." And I remember sitting there and we're having coffee at the shop, and Alan goes and he goes, "So let me ask you a question, bro. Like, hook up? He's like, "Well, kind of, yeah." He goes, "Is that what God asked of us?" He's like, "Well, not really. I know, no." So he was there because he wanted to hear from us what he didn't want to admit to himself. And he said, I said, "Bro," and Alan's really good about this. I said, "I think your struggle comes down to this." And Alan's like, "You know, you haven't been going to Mass on Sundays. You haven't gone to confession." I go, "When's the last time you went to confession?" He's like, "It's been a long time." And finally I told him, I said, "Look, man," I said, I got Father So-and-so on my phone. I said, "I'm going to head back to my office. Why don't you come with me?" I said, "And go talk to Father." I said, "Before you decide to go out with this girl tonight," I said, "why don't you discern, you know, what you should be doing, but make it in a clean soul." So he went into confession, you know, and I don't know what happened. If he went out, I don't think he went out with that girl, Alan, but,
he ended up telling her, you know, he didn't want to go out anymore. He changed his mind. He wasn't interested because he knew where it was going to lead. He knew why she was calling. And so like, but that's the thing is like, we're men sharpening men, and it's not just about men, but it's about, you know, us as men being the head of our families and helping raise our kids. And I know, you know, that can turn a lot of people off. It's like, "Well, I can't tell my wife I'm the head of the family." Well, yes, you can. As long as if you're the head of the family like God intended you to be, you're not oppressing your wife. You're not oppressing the other people in your family to get up there. You're leading by lifting them up. And that's what this method in failing forward is about, is to raise our kids up, you know, is to give them that opportunity that we had growing up to fail. But we have to observe it, and we have to be patient enough to process through this with them.
So you two have another apostolate, what's called a Venture Catholic. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, Jeff, you know, it's Adventure Catholic was the really came out. Let me just kind of give a little context with it. You know, Alan came on board in our youth ministry as one of our core team members. He's been there like forever now, so it's almost like he's an unpaid youth minister, you know, if you will. They might as well. They need to give him a cot and a stipend at least, but they don't. So. But we were talking. I remember, you know, Alan was, you know, we're sitting having – it always happens over coffee, by the way. So we're sitting having coffee, and Alan's like, dude, we got to take the kids camping. Let's take them out in the woods. And I'm
First of all, I never say dude. It's not something that I say. This is a narrative. This is an aside.
We're coming out of the sex scandals of the church, right? And I'm thinking, oh, no. We don't want to take kids in the woods with these, you know, like, I was in Boy Scouts. I'm like, oh, even worse, you know? And I'm like, so I'm like, all right, bro. He goes, but we don't know. And so he has, it's good bonding. It's good. And he goes, and we can teach him stuff. And I'm like, and of course I started thinking, I'm like, okay, we got to do it with God. We have to make it, can't just be a social event. We got to have something with the faith. What are we going to do? And, so we started looking across what people offer, you know, nationally for teens. And if you've ever read the document, Renewing the Vision, it's our bishop's document for, you know, teenagers. There's three main goals. And the first goal is to bring kids into more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of great summer or different programs that do that specifically. But then the other one is to bring them into the life of the church through service. And there's a lot of service camps that are out there. But the cool thing was there's a third goal, and it says the overall formation and well-being of the child. And there is nothing else out there nationally, on a national level, that addresses that third goal except Adventure Catholic. And so that's what we went after. And we realized, and Alan being – and I joke about him being a Boy Scout, but he's an Eagle Scout, was in the Army. He's been 20 years as an entrepreneur leading his team of people in his business, plus being involved in youth ministry. And so he brought all that. And I brought together my seminary experience. I brought together my – I lived 11 years of boot camp, Marine Corps boot camp with my father. I brought all that together, and we kind of just – we threw it together, and we created this thing that was, faith-based, but it was living – it was just through everyday life. And we let them live life and do the challenges and yada, yada. And then we basically said, where's God in all this? That's kind of like the simplistic version of it. And so it worked. It started working because the kids started bridging the fact that being in the middle of the woods and interacting with each other and being mad at Susie because she didn't agree with me. And we said, well, where's God in all that? Well, what do you mean God in the disagreement? God is everywhere. God is always in your life. And Alan's always good about that. Keep God in your life. And they started realizing that it's not life over here and then Sunday God, or, you know, 5 minute prayer time with God and then I'm separate. So we were starting seeing that gap bridge. And so over the course of, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, that's when we started methodologizing the, if that's a word, the COPEC method.
The new word.
We're going to make it up. Strategery. So, but we started codifying that, and it was really cool, you know, what started happening with this. And so the Adventure Catholic really is, we realize that leadership is the key, and we talk about, we never mentioned it, our Psalm 23 is our third scripture verse that we base it off of. And it, we said, originally said, from sheep to shepherd, because, you know, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And if you're going to disciple people, that means you have to be a shepherd. We cannot, he didn't say just be a sheep and follow the priest around or follow the bishop and whatever, you know, and just, he goes, no, go and make disciples. You need to go lead other people to me. And to lead is to be a shepherd. So our goal was to, in our 4-day intensive, was to take sheep, give them the foundation they need, and then say, okay, this is not where you stop, my friends. You need to shepherd. And how do you shepherd in everyday life? And I'll use a great example. Alan's middle child, woo! She was in public high school and was on the basketball team. And so this young lady would actually lead prayer for her basketball team, for those that wanted to pray, before the games. And she's like, well, I'm going to pray, so who wants to join me? And the girls did. The other, and this was a public high school, and I go, that's leadership. And we would point this stuff out to the other kids so they can see that leadership is not an anointed position, but leadership is right where you're at. And you can, you know, Alan does a great job in his business. You know, people will come in and be like, you know, people would come in and they're like, hey, I want this cool sign. And by the way, can you put this crucifix upside down? And Alan's like, look, I can make your sign, but I can't put the upside down crucifix. Oh, man, well, that's for our rock band. He's like, well, I can. He goes, well, I'm Catholic. And that just doesn't really represent, you know, my love for Jesus and what we're really about. And I forget how that story ends, Alan, but the reality is that's a small ministry leadership. And they're like, oh, he's not being like, you guys are going to burn in hell. You shouldn't do that. He's just like, no, I can't do that because that violates who I am and my relationship with God. And they, he leaves it at that. And he's willing to lose business. He's willing to lose money and take money away from feeding his family because he believes in his and what he's doing and his and how he's living his life with God. And so that's true leadership. When you're not gonna, you know, bow to the extra, you know, $1,000 or whatever, and you're willing to sacrifice that, that's trust. That's trusting in God, and that's showing other people what it takes to be a leader, to lead others to Christ. So, and I just rambled on and on. But that's kind of what, you know, leadership in everyday life, being Christ in everyday life.
Well, that's where our book was born out of. Failing Forward was born out of Adventure Catholic. All of the lessons that, you know, we trained teams with, we put it in our book, Failing Forward, so that parents can use those methods in the home, because that's really the most important place to use the methods that we've come up with. You know, this is field tested, you know, battle approved. It's ready for parents to put into play in the home. You don't have to run a ministry. You don't have to, you know, send your kids to camp to get, you know, to get leadership skills. You can do this at home if you follow these 5 steps, and the steps are very clearly outlined in the book. It even has the what ifs covered. You know, what if my kid says this? What if my kid says that? There, if you follow the book, you're going to be able to be successful with this method.
And there's other stories from other parents in the book as well. How do you get the book?
The best place to get our book is at adventurecatholic.com. You can order from Sophia Press as well. It's on Amazon, but adventurecatholic.com has more information about us and how to get in contact with us. If you have questions, you can order the book right from the site. Just click on books at the top of the page at adventurecatholic.com.
What else would you like to share with the regular Catholic guys out there? Daryl?
Say, guys, bring your wives flowers. That's a great question. Man, you got me thinking here. What would I like to share? I just think, you know, Jeff, the biggest thing with COPEC, it's an ongoing process, and it's, don't give up on yourself when you implement it. I mean, you know, we wrote the book, but I still find myself having to check myself when I'm with my kids going, okay, let them figure this out. Let them, you know, my son and I, my youngest one, we spent time making, I guess, these little sliders. And I said, you're in charge of flavor. And we had all the spices out. And he's like, well, let's try this and that. And he's dumping it in. And I'm like, you know, he's like, oh, too much spice. And I go, well, next time, what'd we learn? You know, and that's okay. It didn't ruin the meal. We just didn't eat that whole thing. And that's okay. Just to step back and be with our kids and realize that this is ongoing. It's a challenge. And that's why we end with the C, to challenge again and to start that process again. And I'll be honest, as a parent, it is hard because it's an emotional investment. But really what it is, it's us parenting. And it's calling us to be who God asks us to be in the lives of our kids. So don't give up. Don't give up, parents. Stick with the process, and you'll be very, very happy with what's going on.
Thanks, Daryl. Alan? What would you like to share?
We direct things to parents. Many times we direct things to parents in general. So I'm glad that you asked the question, what would I like to share with the men? One thing from man to man, what I would like to share with other men out there is to put your pride aside and don't be afraid to be the shepherd God created you to be for your family. And that means humbling yourself at times. So being a shepherd for your family is very dynamic, but you can do it. You know, don't be afraid to fail with being a father for your family. You're going to fail. You can share your failure with your family. And that means putting your pride aside and being humble.
I don't know about you guys, but when my kids were born, I wasn't given this handbook to say, here's how to raise your kids. But with your book, you do have the opportunity to have a handbook to teach your children leadership.
Now there's a book. If there was only a book back then.
And you know, Jeff, I love it because it's not preachy. You know what I'm saying? It's about everyday experiences and just how do we show up better too. I don't know. I think as a parent, you know, a new parent, somebody gave that book, I'd be like, what? But you know, when we pray and we talk to our kids and we open up our hearts to the Lord and want to be more for our kids, it's amazing what can happen with that. So
it's not an expensive book. You know, you're not going to spend hundreds of dollars on this training method, but for $15 or something like that, it's worth getting for your family. And even if you read through it and you're like, there's absolutely no way that I can follow this, I'm too prideful, maybe, you know, read it again and then make a second assessment, but you know, give it to somebody else in your family to read, give it to another man that you know, give it to a mom that's struggling with their kids, because there's parents out there that are struggling. You know, they're struggling. They don't know what to do. They don't know why things are going wrong. They don't know why their kids are turning away from the church. Why, you know, I talked to a man yesterday in my office. We were talking about this. I don't know how I get in these conversations, but we were talking about his son, who's almost 30 years old, still living at home and doesn't have a job. Yeah. And he's like, I don't know why. And I said, well, I mean, he's still living in your house. I said, that's probably the first problem. You know, he's like, well, what am I supposed to do? Kick him out? And I'm like, well, I'm not telling you how to father your child. I'm saying that if you keep putting a cushion under them every time they fall, they never know how hard that ground is. So at some point they got to hit their butt on the ground to know that you can get up on your own. So you don't want to wait till your kids are 30 years old to try to get this message across to them. Buy this now if you have kids that are, you know, 18 and under. And then buy it if they're 18 and older too, to see if you can help their kids someday.
Absolutely.
It sounds heartless, but it's really not. You know, it's really not to, especially this time, where to allow the natural consequences of behavior to, hey, you know what, you're 30. It's either you start contributing to the household and pay rent, or you know, my parents did that, going to either go to school, go to college. You can live rent free. And if you don't go to college, you're paying rent. Okay. That's a challenge. And it sounds harsh in today's environment, but you know what? I just made a decision to go to school and pay my way through school and live in their house. And it worked, you know? So I think that, it can seem tough, but you know, even Jesus' teachings were tough. You know, at times, but he challenged people just to eat his body and drink his blood, you know, in John 6. So
some left.
Yeah, it's some left. They didn't want the challenge. Okay. And that's kind of Adventure Catholic and Copet. So
Well, this is about giving back to our kids so that they can give back when they're older. You know, I always think about Jesus cursing the fig tree. You know, when he walks by a fig tree and he sees it's not producing fruit and he's like, I curse you. It's not because he's hungry and he's mad at the tree and he's damning the tree for not having fruit. It's that cyclical, you know, curse that, you know, look, we're breaking this. I gave you water from heaven. I gave you soil to grow in and you're not giving back. That's what the cursing of the fig tree was about, is that the tree is not giving back. It's unnatural. So we want our kids to give back to society someday. We want them to be leaders. If they're followers, they're going to follow something that's not God someday. So we need to make them leaders so that they can lead others to God.
Amen. Thank you guys for being on the show, and God bless.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Appreciate it.
You have just listened to the Regular Catholic Guy Show. If you enjoyed the show, share it with your friends. Take a screenshot and share it on Instagram and tag us, Regular Catholic Guy Show. Go to iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. This will help more people be able to know about the show and learn about the Catholic faith. Until the next episode, may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. God bless.